Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. My name is Mike, and this week we have a guest on that, man, I've been bumping into this guy since like 2021. I think may have even been 2020, Virginia Run for Cancer, met him the first time. And this is one of my favorite people to run into at races because he is just such an incredibly nice gentleman and such a pleasure to talk to. And I finally get him on the podcast. I'm so excited about this. Michael Nicolaitis, are you ready to go for a run?
Hey, Mike. Yeah, thanks for the compliment, man.
Oh, dude, I so enjoy every time I see you at a race. You are just one of the true gentlemen of the ultra running sport. You're an amazing guy. I love getting a chance to be around you.
Yeah, me too. You're a fun guy to be around.
Yeah.
At the
So,
races.
I enjoy running. So just like you, tell us a little bit about yourself, Michael. Who are you? What do you do when you're not out crushing mini miles?
Well, okay. I was born and raised on the island of Cyprus. Came to Virginia in 1982 to go to school at Old Dominion. I stayed there for a few years, got a couple of degrees at Old Dominion, and I met my wife, who is from Virginia Beach, towards the end of my studies. So I've been back and forth in this area since then. I did work for government for about 20 years, CIO capacity at state government in North Carolina, then in Richmond. I am now semi-retired, consulting part-time, and also getting part of my retirement. So
Awesome.
I get more time to run.
That is awesome. Wow, CIO. So you were like chief information officer back when that was kind of new, weren't you?
Yeah, I actually became a CIO early on in my 30s for a private satellite television company in the Middle East. So I spent about 10 years working
Wow.
in
Oh,
the Middle East in
fantastic.
the Gulf area.
Okay.
And then I got tired of the traveling and we came back to, you know, we lived in Cyprus for 15 years. Then we came back here in 2004 when I got a job for the school system in Virginia Beach. And I was able to be close to my daughter growing up and going through high school.
That's awesome.
I have one child.
Okay. And how old is your daughter now?
She is 34. She lives in London, England. We have one grandson, 3-year-old. Her husband is English, so they live in England. And we live here,
Awesome.
and we kind of split our time, actually, between Virginia Beach, London, and Cyprus.
That's awesome. And so when did you start running, Michael?
Well, I mean, running races, it was much, much, much later in life. I was not running races in high school or anything, but I was running like I was a joke. I went into the army while I was in Cyprus before I came here. So I did run a lot during then. I was an officer. And
Okay.
I enjoy running there. And I used to run, like, I didn't know how far. I just knew I would run for an hour.
Okay.
And I ran a lot during then, but then I spent most of my time playing football, or as you'll call it, soccer. Yeah, my first race was 2003. I ran a 10K. Then I ran a Virginia Beach Rock and Roll Half Marathon in 2007.
Okay. That's amazing. And now I've heard this little rumor. Did you beat Hal Corner in a race?
I did in 2015 when I ran my first 100 miler.
No way.
I mean, that guy won Western States twice, I think.
Yeah.
And he came to Amstead and he was on the side of the trail when he quit. I went by him all the way to the finish line. That was my first 100, and he quit at 60 some miles. I mean, Amstead is 8 loops, so he looped me, and then I caught up with him because he stopped, and I don't know, he had some kind of injury,
Okay.
whatever. So it took him a
I'm
while
still
to
going to
get back
count
to
that
the
as you
start.
beat Hal Corner in a race.
I did.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. So how did you get into the ultra running scene? Were you down in North Carolina at the time?
No, actually, I run a lot with my brother. Actually, I can blame my brother Chris, who a lot of the probably
Okay.
my local listeners know him, because we run a lot together. So he did the first, he's run a marathon, and then we're doing some races together. I used to run every year a Virginia Beach Rock and Roll Half and
Yeah.
Richmond Monument Avenue 10K. No
Okay.
other races, just two races a year for a while. Then I eventually got into the Richmond Marathon in 2010, which was my first, and after my brother encouraged me. And then he did the 50K. His first 50K was Seashore, the first year it was run in 2009. And I
Okay.
was a volunteer that year. And my first ultra was Seashore 2011, after encouragement from the legendary Mel Williams. Because I used to
Oh,
volunteer
wow.
for the race. And, Chris was running, and Mel, when I remember that one year at the aid station, he says, "You just run Richmond Marathon. Why don't you do the race next year and not volunteer?" So that's what I did.
Oh my gosh, that's a great story. So Mel Williams got you to run Seashore the first time.
Yeah, and I went to run it about six or seven times since then.
Well, how incredible. And now, how did you, was it Chris that got you to start volunteering? I mean, because 2009 was the first time they ever did Seashore, correct?
Right. No, Chris was coming to stay with me because he lived in Richmond at the time.
Okay.
So, I mean, I was going to go support him. I suppose volunteer, right? That
Right.
year was a year. The first year was a very, very bad weather year. There was a lot of flooding. So it was a not a, I volunteer. And so I volunteered for the first couple of years because I thought 50K was too far.
Right. And so then was 2011 the Seashore 50K? Was that your very first ultra?
Yeah, my very first ultra was that. And I
Wow.
quickly upped the distance because in 2012 I turned 50 years old. So I signed up for the North Face 50 miler in DC for my
Oh,
50th
cool.
birthday.
There you go. That's a great 50th birthday present. Run 50 miles. That's what all of us
So
normal people do.
yeah, that's the year I also met Dean Karnazes and found out we're the same age.
Okay.
And we connected then, and I have since then I met him a few times, and we're pretty close to the same age within 10 days,
Oh,
my
wow.
birthdays. So he was an influencer in getting me into doing even longer distances. I did my first 100 in 2015.
Wow. And was that Umstead?
Yeah. By that time, I
Wow.
moved to North Carolina. I got a job in Raleigh in 2014.
Okay.
So
That is amazing.
it was then I ran my first 100. Something interesting with me, I followed a training plan for my first marathon in 2010.
Okay.
And that was the last time I followed any kind of training plan for
Oh, that is,
anything.
you're a man after my own heart.
But it doesn't mean I don't train. For my
Right.
first 100, which was at Amstel year, I basically ran for 6 or 7 weekends in a row. I used to run from sunrise to sunset. I
Okay.
did a lot of Amstel miles.
Yeah.
So I was very ready. It just wasn't a particular training plan that I had to run a certain distance or a certain time or certain times a week.
Yeah. Well, and I remember one of our conversations at one of the 24 hours. You rarely ever turn a GPS watch on. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
I
Actually,
And you didn't have
when
one for the longest time. You just used just a regular watch, didn't you?
No, I actually started with it. I always had a Garmin. I even had some of the very old ones that the screen was the size of a cell phone. Do you remember that? I think the 400, 210 or whatever.
I remember
But
that one.
I use those for, I do keep a training log, but I use them always for races and also for the distance.
Okay.
I don't care do for pace or anything. Most of my neighborhood runs if I'm home because I know all the distances. I keep an eye on a little bit of the time, approximate minutes. I run
Right.
many miles in 30 minutes, 50 minutes or whatever. It doesn't matter the exact pace. But if I'm traveling, if you see my Strava and you see things recorded, that means I went somewhere I didn't know the distance, so I turned the watch on just to know
Okay.
how far I
Just so
went.
you know how far you went. Okay. But you rarely, if ever, look at pace, do you?
No, I don't look at that.
But you know, you, I have a feeling you know what pace you're running. Is that right?
Well, I actually, yeah, I take that back. I've done a lot of pacing. I
Okay.
paced for many, many years. I initially marathons and then half marathons for rock and roll. I paced for the running, etc. Pace team and JNA. I paced in rally. So and when I pace, I am like on the dot. But I got into the point that I always pace the same pace. So I knew, if I'm running, I know what my pace is.
Right.
I mean, I have to, I wear the watch, I turn it on to make sure I'm on pace. But it's not that important to me to run a certain pace during training.
Right.
Basically, all my, you can say some of the people define my training miles as all being junk miles.
So, Michael, how many 100 milers have you run?
Well, I've started a lot more than I've used. Finished four. I probably have another five DNFs. The cool thing about I've done a lot of I go to Amsterdam every year. In
Okay.
Amsterdam, you can if you don't finish 100, you can get an official 50 miler
Oh, cool.
finish.
Okay.
Now, there's a couple of times I went to Amsterdam for a 50 miler because I knew that's what I was going to do, and I did that.
Okay. How
I
many times have you run Umstead then? In one way or shape or form?
been there every year since 2015,
Wow.
except for one year that I was out of the country and the year of COVID when there was no
Okay.
race.
That's amazing. Have you ever figured out how many miles total racing you have at Umstead?
I don't know, 600, 700. I finished 300s, and the rest of it are, I've done. Like one year, I quit at 75 when I shouldn't have because I just decided to quit.
Okay.
Other times, one year I quit because of it was really, really bad weather, and I didn't want to. I just in the middle of the night, it was slitting and sliding, and it was
Right.
actually started snowing and sleeting. I was with Chris. I think it was about 65 miles as well. We went to the fireplace and so they have a lodge and I say, oh, where's the fire going on in bad weather days? And we went there and we say, we have nothing to prove. We finished this race before.
That's
So we
right.
just sat there.
There you go. That's awesome. That is so fun. I think that's a great attitude to have about racing. So.
Actually, that year, let me think the year. It was 2018.
Okay.
Gordie Ainsley came out to run
To
Amstead.
Amstead? No way.
Yes. Gordie went run, he's the founder of Western States and he ran Western States every year. But that thing I didn't know until the year he came to Amstead, every year he ran it, he had a qualifier. He never just
Whoa.
entered without being a qualifier.
I didn't know he ran a qualifier every year to get into his own race.
Yeah, he was 70 at the time. It was maybe 72, 75 that year in 2018, the bad weather year. So, we were in the back of the pack, as always. And we met Gordy and we were chatting. And I was so amazed by how many things he knew about Cyprus.
Wow.
And we ran about 25 miles together. It was raining during the day. We were wearing, our ponchos and all of that, and Gordy was wearing just a pair of short shorts, no shirt, nothing, in the rain. And that's the year that it snowed.
Oh,
In
wow.
the middle of the night, there was sleet in the snow, and Gordy finished the 100 miles. He
Did he
never
ever
quit.
put a
He never
shirt
put
on?
a he put a shirt on in the snow.
That's
Talk
Because
about
I don't think
tough
I've ever seen
boy.
a picture of Gordy Ainslie running with a shirt on.
Yeah, exactly. And he wears those 1970s shorts with a split in the side.
Oh my gosh, he's a legend. That's so cool. That's awesome that you got to run 25 miles with him. That's so much fun.
Yeah, and it was fun, being with Gordy, because it was so much storytelling. I talk a lot. We ran 25 miles in the rain, and me and Chris were running, and him, the three of us. I didn't say he was basically telling stories for 25 miles.
I'm trying to picture that. So you didn't get a word in edgewise?
No, I mean, we could talk. We talk about Cyprus. He asked some more
Right.
questions, but it was just so much fun. He was telling us about all these races out in California and about his horses and about so many
That's
things.
awesome.
He, so,
That is
and then he
awesome.
also got into politics. My God, he's very political.
Really? Oh, I did not realize that. That's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny because when I get a chance to do, laps with you, because you've done them at Virginia 24 and down at Cape Fear, and I think even at one of Karen's races, like the Windsor 10-hour or something.
Yeah, I did.
We've spent laps together, and I just love listening to you tell stories because you're such a good storyteller.
Yeah, it's just fun because this is about the sport.
Yeah.
We ran the Chicago Marathon this past weekend, and at the start line, they had a video, big video screens before we started of the elite starting. You
Okay.
know, and I'm telling to the guy next to me, he says, "This is the only sport that we're running the same race as the elites. Tell me
Yeah.
another sport that you're in the same competition as the best of the best."
Yep. Yeah. I feel that way every time I go to a race, and you see, like this last weekend, there was a guy who ran 84 miles in 12 hours. And I was like, wow, I'm like watching history being made, a 12-hour 84-mile. And I was talking to a friend of mine, Peter, and we were going, where else could you ever rub shoulders with people like this? Just phenomenal athletes, the best of the best, and there's no other sport that you do that.
Exactly. And in the ultra running world, is you even get closer to the elites
Yep.
because they're usually at the finish line,
Yeah, when
waiting
us
for
back of the
you.
Packers finish. Yeah. I think
Right.
that was the thing. My very first ultra race, when I came across the finish line, and somebody nudged me, they said, "Hey, that guy that just shook your hand." And I was like, "Yeah." They said, "Well, he finished in he finished. It was a 50 miler." He goes, "He finished 6 hours ago. He's the winner." And I was like, "What is he doing here?" And I was hooked because it was like, you go run, marathons and shorter stuff like that. The fast guys, they're long gone, having a beer, eating dinner, having a massage, when I come across the finish line. And at ultras, there's the guy who finished 6 hours before me, shaking my hand like I did something phenomenal like he did. And I think that's why I love this sport. It's the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, how many times have you run like 20, like how many 24-hour type of timed races do you think you've run?
I don't know exact, but I know my exact number of marathons and ultras because when I was in Chicago and I was with Tommy Neeson, a local. Another runner, he wanted to know how many races you ran. So I do have a log and I looked it up.
Okay.
I have run 35 ultras and 34 marathons.
No way. 35 ultras and 34 marathons.
Yeah,
That's
34,
phenomenal.
26.2.
Wow. That's awesome. That is awesome. So out of all these races that you've run, what's been your favorite one, do you think?
I mean, on the ultra scene, I love Amstead
Okay.
because it's just such a community. It's put on by a group of people. It's not a company. It's a non-profit ultra running, North Carolina Ultra Running Association.
Okay.
And it's a big community vibe. Even if
Yeah.
I won't run it, I will go and volunteer. I actually volunteer every year.
Okay.
The race is on a Saturday. I go on Friday and I work in the kitchen.
Oh,
And
that's
we have a
awesome.
spaghetti dinner for everybody. And there are some people that come to the kitchen that used to run the restaurant. This lady from Florida. She moved to Florida 10 years ago and she still comes back every year to work in the kitchen at Hampstead and see all her friends.
Oh man, that's awesome.
It's
I'm
just
gonna
that.
have to hook up with you and go down and volunteer one year,
Yeah,
because I've never
come
been at
next year.
Umstead. I keep on hearing the legends of it and everything, and I'm like, I just don't know if I want to run, a 100 and have to hustle. I am not blessed with speed, but I would love to go down and volunteer with you sometime. That would be a blast.
Yeah, it's also what is good about Amstead. First of all, I never take, I don't, I never have crew at any race. I never have
Okay.
pacers, but at Amstead, there are volunteer pacers
Really?
organized by the race. And you can, if you want a pacer, there is a group waiting to pay, there's somebody's
Oh,
going to
that's
pace with
awesome.
you. In fact, I've done a couple of times that I've done Amstead. My brother wasn't there, and I got a volunteer pacer, not because I needed a pacer, but it's good to have company. And then, in fact, in 2021, the year after COVID, the first when we came back, I did the 100, and there was this young guy, firefighter, that was coming to volunteer pace at Amstead for the first time, and he had no idea anything about ultras. He just heard about from some friends and he came to volunteer.
Wow.
So he luck had he came with me the last 25 miles from 75 to 100, and it was a really bad weather year, lots of rain. So I have this firefighter and we're basically running and chatting, and he said he was so inspired because I was 59 years old at that
Yep.
year, and his name is John. He was so inspired that 2 years later, he ran and finished the Amstead 100 miler
That's
himself.
awesome.
It was still in his 20s that he ran that,
Wow.
and he came DFL.
Huh?
And he said, "I finished last." I said, "You're the last winner.
That's right. That's awesome.
Finishing last means nothing. You finish the race, you got the bagel." He
Yep.
says, "I didn't think about being last winner, but now it makes me feel better."
That's awesome. See, and that's the type of guy you are, Michael. You encouraged a guy that finished last and was thinking he was horrible, and you set him straight. That's what type of guy you are.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the thing. I mean, I did Yeti this year. Finally finished the Yeti.
Yep.
100 miles, I probably spent 90% of the time alone.
Okay.
But it didn't bother me. It's just, I didn't have a crew and didn't have a pacer.
And you did pretty well. That you did sub 30 this year, didn't you, at Yeti?
Yeah, I mean, there's a 30-hour cutoff, both at
Right.
Amstead and Yeti. If you don't finish in 30 hours, you're not a finisher.
Okay.
So actually, I said I was alone, but I have a lot of friends at
Right.
the race, also at Yeti. So I saw friends all the time. I had friends at aid stations at There's a lot of fireball consumption at Yeti. My
Yes,
friend
there is.
Sean.
I was going to say
So, I saw
that's kind
him.
of the part of if you're going to run Yeti, you better at least be willing to take one fireball, isn't it?
Well, there's a magic Pepsi machine at Yeti on the course, on the Creeper Trail near Damascus, that is always, it's a very old Pepsi vending machine that
Yep.
is always stocked up with fireballs.
And nobody knows how they get there, but it's always spits one out, right?
Oh yeah, there's always if you stop at the
That's
Pepsi, you will get a fireball.
awesome. That's just one of the legends of Yeti is, how does the Pepsi machine get filled up with Fireball?
Yeah, it was funny. I found fireball on the course in the Chicago Marathon this Sunday, so I had to stop and partake.
That
The
is
pink
so
bottle.
awesome. That is so awesome. So Michael sent me the picture and I was just chuckling because I was like, that is so Michael, just to stop and you know what? There's a fireball. I'm gonna have a fireball during the Chicago Marathon
So
because
I
you just
stopped there There was this table, and they had Fireball, Jim Beam, they had Hennessy, and they had a few other, you know, they had full liquor bar. They had Jack Daniels. And so I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to have me shot glasses, big bottles. I pour myself a shot, and then I put another, I put my phone down on the table, and the lady who was there, she grabbed my phone and says, can I take a picture of you? I said, of course. So she took a picture of me.
That is
Because
so awesome.
the Chicago Marathon also goes through the Greek town, so I wore a Greek shirt from the, you know, a Greek flag and Greek shirt, and going through the Greek town, I was like a celebrity.
You got the loudest cheers, didn't you?
Yeah, of course, and I had my Greek beer. There's a at one of the stations, I knew where the beer would be,
Oh, that is
because
awesome.
I went last year to Chicago, and my son-in-law ran the marathon, so I knew where they were going through, and I had met the Greeks there at the. They set up a tent and they support the marathoners going by with water that they bring from Greece
No
and
way.
Greek beer.
That is so awesome. How much fun is that?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I tell people. When you're running, it's fun. We get to do this thing.
Yeah.
You know, I picked up from all these different people. One of the people that inspired me is Jason Green, who is the race director for the Yeti races.
Yep.
At the start of the race this year, he said, at the start of the Yeti 100, he says, don't forget, y'all, we get to do this. No one is
Yeah.
forcing us. We get the privilege to go and run these races. And nobody says it's easy. It's
Yep.
really hard to go around
Yep.
100 miles. And the Yeti has a 30-hour cutoff. It's a fast race, but it also has a short cutoff for 100.
Yep.
And he said, don't fuck around at the aid stations. Just get it done. But while you're
Yeah.
doing it, remember that we get the privilege to do this.
Yeah, no kidding. So, Michael, the other little known fact about you as runners, you have a wee bit of a streak going on, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I run every day since December 27, 2015.
That's amazing. Every day since December 27th, 2015. So this will be 10 years in December.
Actually started, I average about 5 miles a day.
Okay.
Average. I don't run five every day. I run minimum of two. There's been a few days that I've run less than to like one, but in order to be a streak, you have to have a minimum of a mile. I probably
Okay.
in these 3,500 days, I probably have 3 or 4 days I run less than two.
Wow.
But I started running every day in 2011.
Okay.
There was a challenge from the Runner's World, run every day from Thanksgiving to Christmas. To New Year. So I did that. I went into March and I stopped at 111 days.
Okay.
And then I actually missed 3 days in a row in that March of 2012. And then I started running again after that first streak, and I went for 2 years, a little over 2 years, about 850 days
Wow.
running every day. And I kind of felt like I wouldn't share this because people would say, oh, I don't want to have a streak. It's not good for you. It's like a chore. It never felt like a chore. It's just a way of
Right.
life for me.
Yeah.
But I did miss that streak. It ended because one day I was on a business trip and I didn't run in the morning. After work, we went to some pub and we had dinner and drinks, and I came back to the hotel. I fell asleep. I never woke up. It was like 1 a.m. and I was like, oh,
Wow.
the streak is done. But it's okay. I was okay with it. And
Yep.
then I continued to run every day. I missed like a day here and there. I purposely was missing days, so I didn't want to start another long streak. So as people don't tell me I'm some kind of OCD person, even though I am. And then New Year's Eve of 2015, I'm at my brother's house. He was in Richmond at the time. And I said to him, you know, I've never run 366 days in a year. 2016 is a leap year, so I'm gonna run every day. He says, I'm gonna do it too.
No way.
So, and at that time, we looked back, my last day that I missed was December 26. His last day that I missed was somewhere in November.
Okay.
So we started that streak. When that New Year's Eve of 2016, we said we're gonna run every day, and we haven't stopped.
Oh my. That is
He's
so
also,
incredible.
so his streak is a month older than mine. But and I've been through, he says how you don't get injured. I do. I have had a couple of situations that, like, I had two surgeries during
Right.
this streak. But if you can plan it correctly, you can continue your streak.
Yep.
Like, this past August, I had kidney stone removal surgery.
Okay.
So I ran in early in the morning, like 4 a.m. I went to the hospital early, had the surgery like 9 a.m. I spent the night in the hospital. The next day, they were supposed to keep me in for one night. And the doctor wanted to keep me a second day because I had some kind of infection. I said, no, I cannot stay. I need to go and run. I think that's an o'clock at night. I did like, so you run at the second day, like really late, 11 o'clock at night. So you,
No.
and I remember that day, I actually had the surgery in Cyprus. It took me like 45 minutes to go 2 miles, but I did.
You did it though. That is so awesome. I can't even picture what the look on the doctor's face when he said, "No, you can't keep me. I have to go for a run."
No, he knew about it before the surgery because we
Right.
discussed it. I said, I need to know all the details because I had a meniscus tear and never took did the surgery because I didn't want to miss my streak.
Right.
And I told Chris, I'm not stopping until you stop. He said, well, I just need to run once with the rest of it.
Oh my gosh. I can picture when you two get together, the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun because we spend a lot of, I mean, we run because we lived in different cities. We would travel to places like travel to Amsterdam and run the Amsterdam, or we used to go to a Hollister, North Carolina. There was a Medoc Mountain Trail Marathon
Okay.
every year. It's actually not far from here. It's about 2.5 hours.
Okay.
They don't have that marathon anymore. They have a shorter race. So you'll go there. He'll come from Richmond. I go from Virginia Beach. I spend the night in a, in tents and get up in the morning and run a really difficult, high elevation, single track trail marathon.
Wow.
But so you go there at night, there's a campground, there's a fire, people telling running stories and, drink a few beers, go to sleep, get up early in the morning and run a marathon. I mean, what, that's a good life.
That is a good life. There's nothing better
Yeah.
than being able to get out and go for a run. I know you've got a million more stories, and I know you and I are going to share a lot of miles together, but let's start kind of drawing this to a close. What would be your recommendation for people who are just getting started running? How do you make it a habit?
When I first started running, like more started doing races, and but even during races or during training, when you get to that runner's high, as they call it, I didn't know. I heard about it, and then one day I got it. I went out
Yeah.
for a run for 5 miles in my neighborhood, and I came back home and I said, when did the time pass? I didn't even realize I went 5 miles.
Yep.
Because when you get to this rhythm, you're looking around and you're enjoying it, or you're running in races. Many, many times I'm in races, and we're older. You and I,
Yep.
we're in our 60s. Even in our 50s, we're running in these incredible places. Find places where you can run that you like what you're seeing.
Yep.
Get, and look around you and say, I get to do this.
Yeah.
I am, it's healthy. It gives you the endorphins. You make you feel better. And there's not, you don't worry about pace or time. It's good to keep record. I do keep track of my miles, but, and if you're running races, try to beat yourself like your previous time if you can while you're still young. When you get older like we are, I don't worry about trying. I'm
Exactly.
not going to get a PR these days. I still now my motto is like, I'm still doing this, and I will continue to do this until I'm 100.
There you go.
Actually, my inspiration, my mother is 90 years old. Her birthday was this past July. And she fell down a few years ago. She had the surgery, put her leg did not heal well. So she is walking with a walker or a cane.
Okay.
90 years old, very, very slow moving. Yet every day she gets out in her house, on her veranda or outside, or in the winter inside the house. She walks for 30 minutes every day.
Wow, that's awesome.
She may go, and she's very, very slow. It does not how far. She
Yep.
likes to exercise. She
Yep.
may go 400 meters or to a quarter mile or whatever in the 30 minutes. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
She, the fact that
Yeah.
she, and her mind is sound. She's got her friends that come every day. They have coffee together. She cooks for the family once in a while. She puts dinner parties together. But every day she has to walk a little bit, 30
Wow.
minutes.
Isn't it
So,
awesome to have a mom like that? My mom's very similar. She's 85, and I'm going down to Florida for Thanksgiving. And so she's been talking about, can we do another 10K? I want to do a 10K. I'm like, absolutely, mom, we're going to do 10K. And she's like, it's going to be slow. And I'm like, doesn't matter. You're 85, you'll be 86 in March, and we're going to do a 10K. So I'm going to do a 10K with my mom, and we're going to have a fantastic time.
yeah, I mean, this will be memories that you will take. You will always remember them. There's a lady in North Carolina. She's a good friend of mine that lives in Bailey, North Carolina. Her aunt Beulah. When I used to work there, they invited me to go do a 5K in Middlesex, North Carolina, and I met Aunt Beulah. Aunt Beulah, she is deaf, and at the time she was 90 years old and ran the 5K.
Wow.
She is still walking every day because I talk to my friend and how are you doing? And how's Amula doing? Rona told me Amula now and she's 96 years old and she
Wow.
still walks. She's okay physically and
Yep.
she walks every day in her neighborhood about 3 miles.
Yep. That's awesome. That's what I want to be. I tell my wife all the time, I say, when I turn 126, I want to die running on top of a mountain. That's
That's
my
good.
dream. So.
Jeff Galloway wrote a book, Run Until You're 100.
Yep.
And I got that book and I got it signed from Jeff.
Did you really?
And
Wow.
yeah, I met him a few times in North Carolina because he would come there. There was a great community of Jeff Galloway runners there. Jeff was running at that time 30-30, which
Okay.
people think is insane. 30 seconds run, 30 seconds walk. And I tried it, and actually, one
Amazing,
year
isn't it?
he ran at 30-30 just to try it, and it became like a hobby. You didn't even look at the beeper that we even I even turned that off and ran 30-30 and finished a marathon, in like 4:55.
Yep.
I'm always asking, sometimes people say they finish a race and say, oh, they're disappointed because they
Yep.
didn't hit their time.
Yeah.
My question is always, did you have fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about having a good time. It's all
Yeah.
about enjoying what you're doing and never see it as a chore. When I first started running every day, I didn't understand. There were sometimes I will feel, oh, I need to get my run in, and I will think about it. But now
Right.
it doesn't even. It's just part of what I do. It's
I was
not
gonna say
even.
it's got to be part of your life now. I mean, it's just natural, as natural as waking up.
Exactly. It's not I've done runs in like at 2 a.m. because I had to catch a flight at 6 a.m.
Right.
I've run in airports because I had to connect internationally. Training for Yeti, I didn't do any long races. It just, I believe that because it keeps you in a certain shape. that you can actually go and do a marathon or longer without a training plan. At any point in time, if something was put in front of me that says, next tomorrow we're going to go run this marathon, I could do it. I don't have to have a training. And actually, I need to share this one story. When I first started training for hundreds, like people think, oh, is it possible? How are you going to run that far? And all of that. And I know you have this Yogi Bear story about 90%. Well, I have a different variation of that, and I don't know who said it first. So when you're running 100 miles, it's 90% mental, and the last 10% is in your head.
Yeah, no
Because,
kidding.
and the person who said that, I cannot recall where I heard it. His name escapes me. He said this. He said, if you had a mother whose child is in danger, and the child is in 50 miles away or 100 miles away, and you have to go over a couple of mountains to get to your child to save your child, and you put that mother and tell her, your child's in danger, but you need to go save your child. It doesn't matter what the distance is. Just show her which direction to run, and this mother will run nonstop, 50, 100 miles, and get to their child. It's no, it doesn't matter about training, about anything. It's mental.
Amazing. Amazing. All right, well, let's wrap this up, Michael. So the name of the podcast is Living an Ultra Life. When you hear that, what's the first thing that pops into your mind?
You ask this everybody. For me, it's basically living life to the fullest. It's basically enjoying what you're doing. Find your niche. It does not have to be running. It could be anything. Anything that gives you pleasure, and preferably what you do be something with movement. Move your body. Get the endorphins going. Even, I mean, my mother at 90 years old, that she walks 30 minutes every morning, she's living her ultra life, right? Because just do something that will make you feel good when you finish it. Because you never regret a run that you did. You will regret a run that you didn't when you didn't go out to run.
Amen. Michael, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure getting you on the podcast. Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Mike. Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me for this.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.